Good morning. Are you enjoying the fireworks this weekend? I heard that it was a beautiful display last night. And Pastor Rick told us in the earlier worship service that he was inspired by the lights, and he understands the lights to shine in not only the sky, but in each and every one of us, as we are called to be laborers in the fields for the Lord. Hear now Luke's gospel in the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and every place where he himself intended to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. And whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." May God bless the reading and hearing of this His word. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for those whom you have sent out into the fields. For, Lord, there is much to do and little time to do it, but you have called us. So speak to us today and help us to see the ways in which you call us and to make us your very own. Amen. I don't know about you, but I sat around in a Sunday school class probably 15, 20 years ago, and we were talking about missions, where God was calling us. And I don't know, but each one of us had a mission experience. I had been to McCurdy School in Espanola, New Mexico, and was sharing some of that, and somebody else had shared another mission experience that they had been on, and I said, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if God would call us to a place that we could go together? People who know each other, worship together, love the Lord, and we could be sent out to spread the love of Christ to other people. One of the ladies at the table said, "Well, I'll go anywhere, but I'm not going to Africa." And I thought to myself, how many times do we put stipulations on where we will go if God calls us? I know for me, this is a second career and being a pastor. And, you know, I felt called to be a registered nurse. And it is interesting how God took that ministry of being in nursing and in the medical field, and God called me and wooed me into becoming a pastor. After Bible study after Bible study, I knew God's word. You know, somebody asked me after the first service when I said I would go to 9-month-long Bible studies. Well, I started with Disciple Bible Study, and then I went to Bible Study Fellowship, which is called BSF. Those are all long-term commitments. And I thought to myself, wow, okay, I know God's word. Now what am I going to do with it? Have you ever known something but you wondered how you're going to use it? I don't know how many of you have been in school for a long time, but I feel like we're all lifelong learners, right? When I was in high school, I thought to myself, what in the world will I do with diagramming sentences? I didn't know, but God knew, because God knew that I needed to diagram my own life in a certain way, in a certain fashion. You know, when we take sections of our life and we put them all together, we see a much bigger picture than what we could if we just did a little bit here and a little bit there and never put it all together. Jesus called the first disciples as he walked along the Sea of Galilee. Now, I don't know about you, but this has special significance to me. A few years ago, I went to Israel, and one morning we walked together along the Sea of Galilee, the very place where Jesus called the first disciples. And I thought to myself, but Jesus is still calling us to be his disciples. Then all of a sudden we see in the scripture text that not only are there 12, but now there's 70. Something's happened. Because God has multiplied, and it's not just fish and loaves that we're talking about here. God has multiplied people to go out and to bring the kingdom of God near to those that he is going to see. These 70 go out in pairs, and they are preparing the places for which Jesus is going. The 70 are commissioned. They have all the authority that Jesus had. They can heal the sick, cast out the demons. They can do everything that Jesus had lived and done through and with them. My question for you this morning is, how immediate is your response when Jesus calls you? Are you listening to the ways in which Jesus calls you to go out and to be the love of Christ for others, to be his hands and feet? How do we do that? How do we listen? How many of you have ever been on a mission trip? How many of you have ever been missional, sent out? For some of us, we go kicking and screaming. And for others, we just can't wait. We've heard that there are good things going on in a certain place. But what happens is that God's spirit becomes contagious. It is amazing when we are called and we obey. You know, we are called every day of our lives to follow Jesus. We are one of many. We are either the hands and feet of Jesus. Sometimes we're the ear and we listen. Sometimes we're the mouthpiece and we sing or we speak. But always, we are the body of Christ, using all of our gifts and talents together to bring peace and joy and comfort. We come to understand that the mission becomes more like a holistic mission. It's about preaching and teaching and healing. I don't know about you, but my words can fall short sometimes. It's the actions of other people that speak the loudest to me. It's who a person really is at their very soul. God knows our hearts, and he's calling us to share our hearts with one another. God continues to call us even today, and he'll call us tomorrow. Luke depicts a mission to every city and every place. Now, I don't know how that translates for you, but for me, it says that if I'm at work, if I'm here in the office, If I'm driving my car and somebody cuts me off, I still have to be Christ to someone else. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes you wonder, what in the world is that person thinking? I have a little story. I didn't share this with any other service, but a couple Fridays ago, my friend Joe here had helped me to bring some things up to the office and to the parsonage. And we were trying to hurry because him and his wife were going on a camping trip. Well, don't you know, just the way things work out, we were detained a little longer than what we thought, and he was running a little bit late. So I said, well, I've never seen a subway with a drive-through before. Joe, how about if I go through Subway because I didn't eat breakfast this morning, and this will be quick. I'll get you something to eat, and we'll be on our way. I no more pulled into the Subway parking lot, and boom, I got hit in the back. And I thought to myself, I looked at Joe, I said, she just hit me. And I thought to myself, oh, whoa, this is going to be really interesting. So I get out of the car, and I said, are you all right? I picked up her license plate that had gotten knocked off her car, and I said, by the way, I said, I'm going to be the pastor of that church right over there. I said, if you don't have a church home, we'd love to see you come and worship with us. And she said, really? I thought to myself, I could have gotten out of my car and said, what's the matter with you, right? Isn't that our first reaction? But I didn't. We exchanged names and information and all that stuff. And, you know, I've talked to this woman twice since then. And I thought to myself, I wonder what she really remembers about that accident. The last time that I talked to her this past week, 3 days ago, she said to me, you said that you're going to be the pastor of that church across the way from Subway. I said, you're right, I am. I said, and you know, I said, you're more than welcome to come and join us anytime. And she said, I'm just glad that no one was hurt. I said, so am I. I said, isn't that amazing how God puts a hedge of protection around us and we bump into each other in uncertain terms, you know? Isn't that how God works in our lives? We don't expect something to happen, but we can take a bad situation and we can turn it into something good and pleasing to God. So where are you called to minister God's grace and God's love to other people? I think the hardest time for me is with my own family sometimes. They know me the best. They can tell when I'm faking it. They can tell when I'm tired. They can tell when I'm on my game. But you know, what's interesting is that at the end of the day, they know that it's a place to come home. It's a place where they're safe and they're loved unconditionally. So how do we prepare? How do we prepare ourselves? How do we prepare our surroundings for others to receive the love and grace of God? You know, we realize that this mission is a continuance. It doesn't stop with one mission trip or one Sunday morning or just one encounter here or there. It is something that is lifelong. Many of us understand a sense of urgency in our life, don't we? How many of you have ever woke up late to go somewhere? Your entire existence, Jamie? Well, I have to admit that there are certain things in life that create a sense of urgency. Crying babies. We gotta hush that child. Having to go to the bathroom. I don't know about you, but sometimes that's pretty urgent. And Luke tells us that because there are many, many that are ripe for harvest, but the laborers are few, there's a sense of urgency. Now, I don't know about you, but my brother just picked a whole bunch of blackberries a couple weeks ago, and he brought them up. Now, I know that there's a sense of urgency because if he didn't pick the blackberries, guess who would have got them? The birds. When the cherry tree was ripe, Grandma would always call and say, the cherries are on, and I knew that that meant right then and there, I had to go get those cherries, because if I didn't, the birds would get them. So there's a sense of urgency in Luke's gospel. It's almost apocalyptic in his framework, because for a lot of us, we know that there are people that we work with, there are people in our families, there are people all around us that don't know Jesus Christ. When I think about urgency, I think about the times when I might be alone and I see the world so busy around me. I'm reminded that time goes by really fast. It wasn't too long ago that my own children were graduating from preschool and then kindergarten and then junior high and high school. And now my own grandchildren are starting that same trek. And I'm thinking to myself, where in the world has that time gone? Where has it gone? I mean, it's like you turn around and they're just like being potty trained. And then all of a sudden they're driving a car, it seems like. Well, maybe a few years in between, but 16. It's like that went quick. I've sat in the rooms at hospitals and at hospices, and a family member is near death, and then they die. And many times I've heard people say, wow, life is certainly short. We didn't expect mom or dad or this person or that person to go so fast. Some people say 80, 90, 100 is a good long life, and it is, but it still goes fast. We're never really, really ready, but you see, there's this sense of urgency. Sometimes that sense of urgency comes out of the things that we need to do, and we put on the back burner: forgiving other people, loving other people, extending grace to them, and even sharing our closest moments with them, our closest moments to God, our God moments. You see, the other day when we had staff meeting on Wednesday, we went to one bistro, and I said to Susan Felly, do you think that there would be anyone in the youth group that would come and talk about the mission trip that they just went on to North Carolina? How were these kids called to go? And what was their closest moment to Christ? And she said, I'll call and I'll see. I'll find out if somebody would like to do that. You know, she came up with three volunteers, three brave souls. And you know, I kind of had to laugh. I thought to myself, Susan's got a story here. So I asked each person around the table, can you share your closest moment to Christ this week? And Susan said, with tears in her eyes, there's something about 70 people gathered together in one room, sharing the love of Christ with others, worshiping God and loving on other people, that you just can't really describe. She said, it warmed our hearts, it warmed our souls. She said, but more importantly, it warmed the people all around us. So what does it mean to be harvested? It means that we are becoming fully matured and ripe. We're gathered together under God's reign and sovereignty. So what does it have to do with that apostolic authority that Jesus had given those disciples? You know, that power to heal and to exorcise demons and to bring forth peace and to announce the kingdom of God? Well, I don't know about you, but every time I've ever packed, and I'm getting better at this, I pack way too much. I always have to weigh my suitcase to make sure that it's less than, so I don't get charged more. I have to be intentional And I have to be vulnerable and open because, you know, you never know what's going to happen. I have to depend on the hospitality of others. I don't know how many of you have ever been in an airport, but you definitely have to depend on the hospitality of others. And all of these things we do in a nonviolent, peaceful way so that others can see Jesus in us, because we have been commissioned and we have been sent out into the world to offer the love of Christ to others. So when we think about that, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus walked on this earth. And even though our technology is quick and widespread, there is still an urgency to encourage others to hear, to change their hearts, to submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. We're pretty much practical people, I'd say. And sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes it's a bad thing, because we need to change our own perspective. What I've learned is that where we are transformed, we lead out of our places of transformation, and that's how others come to know what's going on. God does not call the equipped, but God equips those that are called. I want you to welcome Jonathan Patterson. Jonathan, over here? Where? No? Chris, are you doing it? Chris is doing it. Chris is going to come up and tell us a little bit about the mission trip to North Carolina. And he's going to talk about how God called him and where God showed up in that mission trip, aren't you?
So I went to the mission trip in Raleigh a couple weeks ago. Honestly, I wasn't really called purposely, I guess. Susan kind of just told me I was going, which I was okay with, and I'm really happy that she did. While we were there, we did a lot of stuff in the community, and we went to a church service, and the pastor there gave a sermon on how God speaks. And one of the things that he said that I feel will stick with me is, when the thunder roars and the lightning strikes and the rain pours, God is speaking. And I could tell that it was powerful when he said it, just because, I mean, those are powerful words. But then the next day, which was our last day there, they did a foot washing ceremony. And as many of you know, foot washing ceremonies are extremely emotional for pretty much everybody. They're just a time when you really feel God. And we got our feet washed, and then we went and we separated into our church groups for, you know, our church time. And before the foot washing started, it rained. And during the foot washing, it rained. And then almost immediately after the foot washing was over, it stopped raining. And Susan asked our group, you know, how has your group touched the people with God this week? And I just looked out there's a door there on a balcony, and I just looked out and saw that it was raining, and I said, Susan, when we went to that service, the pastor said, you know, when the thunder roars and the lightning strikes and the rain pours, that's God speaking. And without people in Raleigh knowing it, God just washed Raleigh's feet. God just cleansed this, you know, area of everything that they had while we were getting cleansed. And so that was a strong moment for me. That was my God moment on that trip, where I could just really feel, you know, God was there, because that couldn't be coincidental. And, you know, I felt like something like that has to bring not only our youth group, but all youth groups closer, just to realize that, you know, your little acts of the week going out and serving the community are paying off, because God is finishing that off and washing the feet of Raleigh.
Thank you. I love an honest spirit, vulnerable, humble. We see that in the way that God has called other people. What about Moses? Do you remember the story of Moses? Moses was shipped down the Nile in a basket, and he grew up in a culture that was counterculture to his birth culture. When God called Moses, he said, "No, not me, Lord. You know I'm not eloquent at tongue. I can't even speak right. What about my brother Aaron? He'll do it. Yep, Aaron's the one for you." God wouldn't have any of that. No. And what about David? He was the youngest. He was a shepherd boy. He was the one who slayed the giant Goliath. What about David? And look at how God used David. He even called David a man after God's own heart. And what about Saul? On that road to Damascus, God had called Saul. And when the scales fell from his eyes, he was converted. A conversion experience. That's what we're called and commissioned and sent out to do. All of a sudden, Saul became Paul. And what about Mary? Mary was a young woman, humble, pure, betrothed to be married. Her world turned upside down. But she was subservient to God's call. And she said, "Lord, let it be so. Let it be so with me." What about God's call in your life? God calls us in a multitude of ways. The question is, are you listening? Are you listening? It took me many years to hear God call. Well, I don't know that I heard. It took me many years to answer God. I heard God calling, but I couldn't believe that it was God saying, "This is what I want for you. I've called you." Today, God shows up. Maybe it's in the breaking of the bread. Maybe it's in the juice. As messengers of God, we have been anointed and we have been sent out like a drop of water that ripples out into all the earth. We're going ahead of Christ because, you know, friends, he's coming back someday. And we are sharing his teachings, his love, and the good news that we are broken people, forgiven, and sent out again and again. Because we are the body of Christ. We are vulnerable. We are humbled. We are relying on the hospitality of others. And through all those things, and only then, can we share the love of Christ with one another? Amen.